Okay, welcome everybody to this evening's teleseminar called Change Your Voice, Change Your Life. My name is Damien Sen and it's a great pleasure to have you on the call this evening. In a very short moment from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Anthony Wade, also known as Dr. Voice. But before I do that, I just thought I'd spend a little bit of time up front just letting you know how this evening's call will work, particularly for those who haven't been on one of our People You Should Meet calls before. Now, the whole idea about People You Should Meet is it's a service that I offer for people to connect with people that I believe are doing remarkable things in the world. And it's a platform to share ideas and to connect with people with similar interests all over the world. And each week I find someone and we create a call to share some remarkable ideas and experiences in the hope that it will benefit people all over the world. Now, the call this evening will run for around about an hour. Over the course of that hour, I'll be asking Doc a series of questions around our topic, and some of those questions will be my own personal questions, but the vast majority of the questions will actually come from people who have signed up on the call. And yeah, so if you have submitted a question, please listen out for it during the call. We'll do our best to cover as many of the different themes as possible. Okay, now to give you a little bit of background on how I actually met Doc, we've been friends now for probably around about 4 years, and we were actually introduced by a very good mutual friend of both of ours. And it was around the time that I actually kicked off my coaching business. And I know for me personally, one of the challenges that I was experiencing was this whole notion of speaking down the phone. And just going to Doc and having him help me out with that regard certainly helped me to get my coaching business off to a flying start. And certainly doing things like teleseminars wouldn't have been possible without his early help when I was starting out my business. Now, Dr. Voice is widely regarded as one of the UK's leading voice coaches. He's had over 30 years experience working with the voice, and he is widely regarded for his work with many people in star positions across a whole range of different industries, from international football managers, barristers, company executives, TV personalities, and also celebrated pop singers. So without further ado, it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the call our very special guest, Dr. Voice. How are you going there, Doc?
Hi. Here we are.
Wants to change things in your life and you don't know when. Then all you've got to do is give a call to Damien Sen. Let me welcome you all to this telephone call on the voice. Hope you realize the change that's so good you rearrange your choice. Welcome to this conference call, everyone. Welcome to this conference call, let's all have some fun.
Hi.
Doc, welcome.
I don't know where that came across, but there you are, I'm just singing it live.
Fantastic, that came across brilliantly. What a entry to the call. Fantastic. Now, Doc, I thought I'd kick us off this evening with a question along the lines of our topic this evening. And I was just wondering, is it really possible to change your life by changing your voice?
Yes, because what a lot of people don't realise and what most of us are not coming to terms with in our life, and I'm talking about even great speakers because I get quite an arraignment of type of people that come to me, even great speakers are not aware of the power of their voice and what it's able to do. And by saying that you can change your voice, change your life, what it does is that your voice, you see, is the soundtrack to your life. It's the echo of who you really are inside. It's the representation of your sound, of who you are inside. And it's your larynx that's vibrating that makes sounds that puts out your personality firsthand. for instance, the first thing that ever happened to us is we took a breath. Everyone took a breath. The second most powerful thing that happened to us all was our voice. Wah, wah, 64 muscles ringing out, bringing out, saying I'm hungry or I need my nappy changed, you know, that baby crying. So that first thing was the breath, then the voice. These two elements are the most powerful elements of our human being, the breath and the voice. But what we went to do as human beings, we went on and developed language, a way to communicate. And that's becoming distant each day that passes. We're not becoming great effective communicators because we've lost the voice and we've lost the use of our breath or knowing how to use the breath with our voice. Therefore, our intent is not made clear when we communicate. And the result of that is we sometimes shut up. We sometimes go inside and don't express who we really are. We don't express the real part in us, which is the soul part, which is who we really are. And so what I do, when you ask that question, can changing your voice change your life? Yes, because when you change your outer voice, you will change your inner voice. As all my clients will stand up in testimonial to, they have had a profound experience from changing the sound in their voice and realizing from that, oh my God, this is the new me here. I didn't even know this was here. Parts of the personality come out. The voice is either in some women it becomes more feminine, in some men it becomes more warrior-like, more powerful. It depends on what a person's soul wants them to be. And that's what we do. We get to the root of a person, and that's why it does change your life.
That's brilliant, Doc. Now, I remember from our immersion day that we spent together, and it really was a phenomenal experience. And we'll talk a little bit more about your immersion days later on in the call. But one of the things I distinctly remember you sharing with me, which was a revelation, was that your entire life actually shows up in your voice. And I was just wondering if you could just elaborate a little bit more about that concept.
Well, yes, simply, you see, the largest vibrator in your body is your larynx. Now, if let's look at this. NLP will tell you that any vibration at all in your body is recorded into your subconscious mind, your eyebrows moving, your nose twitching, etc. And right from the day you were born, you are photographing and putting that into your subconscious mind with subconscious files into yourself, into the belief of who you are, into your personality, etc. And that's what you build up over the years as you grow. Based on vibration. Now, the vibration of your voice, if it is a certain vibration and you don't change that or make it grow or give it the effort or the life it should have with the 64 muscles being utilized, what we tend to do is hide behind other people's idea of what we should sound like. For instance, no one, and I don't believe anyone, chose their voice consciously. I don't think everyone said, oh, this is the sort of voice I want. We just ended up with what we got. So, for instance, if your parents said, if your parents spoke like this, hello, and that's how I am, and that's how your dad spoke, if your dad spoke like that, guess what? You'll probably end up sounding a bit like that as well. I'm sure if you met David Beckham's father, you'll see why David Beckham sounds like David Beckham. And this is not who we are. We are not that sound that we think we are. We are something far more far-reaching and far more powerful in that consciousness of the being we truly are inside. And we hide it. We hide behind these guises, not purposely. We don't know we're doing. It's all subconscious. But we're living inside what we think is our own voice when, in actual fact, proof is, from the work I've done and the discoveries and research over the years, as we unfold a person's voice, it's phenomenal to hear someone come out and then say, oh, my God, that's not me, but it's so beautiful. And they can't believe it's them. And it is the real them because they're starting to use muscles they've never used before. They're starting to use parts in their larynx they haven't vibrated before. It's like starting up a machine. And they start to sound a lot more glorious or alive or happier. It's always happier, because it's still self-expression. And what makes you happy is when you can express yourself more.
Yeah. Brilliant. That's a great answer, Doc. Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, you've had over 30 years experience working with the voice, and it's absolutely obvious when you speak about it and how much passion you have for the voice. Mm. But I was just wondering if you could share with callers how you actually started out working with a voice. Were you a natural orator and a natural singer, or
was it something
that you had to cultivate over time?
I think really it started years ago when my father owned a bingo hall, and I stood at the back of the bingo hall. I didn't actually have a microphone in those days. You're talking about in the 60s. And we didn't have microphones, and I used to call the numbers back, 2,000 people in the hall, and he'd go, check 25, and I'd go, 78, and I'd shout my voice back at him. And from that point onwards, I thought, God, you know, and everybody used to look around and say, God, that's strong. And I thought, I then realized I was waking up muscles then. Along with the terrible smoky atmospheres, it didn't do me my health much good. But it was my journey to Australia that I realized that I couldn't sing. When I was in Australia, I wanted to get up and sing. And I couldn't sing to save my life. And this was disturbing because my brother was a great performer and singer. He's in Jesus Christ Superstar and Hair, went around the world. And I thought, how come my brother can sing, I can't? God, why have you forsaken me? What have you done? Why can't I sing? And then I realized it's because I just haven't woken up certain areas in my personality. People that think they can't sing, that's it. They think they can't sing, and therefore they won't and can't. But when you wake up muscles, as I've had millions of people, well, thousands of people over the years in front of me and seen the changes in voices that you think were absolutely impossible to use. For instance, when I first started singing, it was all... I sounded like Bob Dylan's grandmother. It was shocking. Oh, it was terrible. And I thought, how come I'm like this and my brother sings like he's got a voice like a bird? It's beautiful. And I couldn't do that. So it was that inspired me to venture into why can't I do this and other people can get up and just do this. I spent years working on my voice, discovering, went to many singing teachers. No one could really show me how to really open it. That was my own study and work on my own techniques over a period of quite a few years with my own pupils, who were guinea pigs at that time, bless them, but I still get good reports back from them. And basically I realized, oh my God, it's only this and it's only that then we need to do. And it's a simple, practical thing you need to do in order to make quite a massive change to the perception of who you are, to the perception of you thinking you can't sing, to actually seeing and witnessing you can. It's quite a remarkable thing. One client I had here was a solicitor, a very pompous man, bless him. He wrote me a letter, said, I don't want to mess around. Don't mess with me, Mr. Wade. Blah, 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 I want the truth. So he came in, and when he spoke on a tape recorder, which is what I do in my immersion days, I said to him, I'm going to be honest as you asked me to. He said, yes, please, be honest with me. I said, sir, your voice is telling me you are suffering from a huge dose of low self-esteem. His bottom lip went, and he said, I think you might be right. From that day, I said, up we get, I'm going to show you something. And he said, right, and we got his voice going. And when he started to sing, he had this amazing Sinatra voice. He didn't even know. He had no idea. And when we got him singing these songs, he just sounded like Sinatra. It was phenomenal. And for the next 6 months, he came back for singing lessons, and he was just jumping about like a schoolboy, blown away that he was able to sing like Sinatra. It was just extraordinary. And I believe he's in America somewhere, sings in wine bars.
Wow. That's amazing. That is amazing.
So that's why you see people, you see them in their role, and you think, oh, yeah, that's an accountant. Oh, yeah, he could never do anything. Oh, look, that person's a scientist. Oh, they can't do anything. But when you have them in front of you and you just show them the simple things, which has taken me, please, you know, it's taken me 30 years to discover and understand how to get a person into this state of where they can see it, but because I'm in that state, I can show them. And when they see it, it's like, it's amazing. It's like a big eureka. And it's such a pleasure to do this work. I mean, I end up sometimes in my immersion days quite emotional watching a change happen to a person. It's quite significant and very powerful.
Yeah, that certainly was my experience on the immersion day. I don't think I was quite prepared for the real journey that I went on, both internally and externally through the voice. It really, really was a magical experience. Now, Doc, you've had 30 years working with people. I was just wondering, in those 30 years, has there been someone sitting in front of you that that you couldn't help, or do your techniques actually work on everyone?
It's a lovely question. And, you know, I look at people's characters when they come to me, especially, say, for an immersion day. I had one woman who was a TV producer, very, very, not very open. When I mean open, please call us, someone that's, you know, doesn't want to give too much away, is not prepared, probably not on a path of personal development, not wanting to find out truth about themselves, just locked in the everyday humdrum of 9 to 5, and experiencing a little bit of pain in their life, but thinking they've got the life of Riley, thinking they're having fun. And she'd come into my studio, and I thought this was the one which was going to be a big failure for me. Out of all, I mean, I sit down and read my testimonials, and it's a joy, it is, because when I read them, I can't believe that, in answer to your question, that most of, yes, just about everybody that's come, I haven't had any negatives in the testimonials. And this lady, if she was going to be a negative, it would have been this woman. She didn't want to breathe. She didn't want to stand up and make sound. She didn't want to do all the normal things that I get people to do to make that change. And she didn't want to do anything to make that change. And it was only a matter of time throughout the day, because the immersion day is quite long, that I started to confront her person and said, look, if you don't want to make change, you've spent time and energy and money to come here today, then there's no point in us going on. But if you really want to make a change, may I ask you one thing? Please, I can see this, please forgive me for saying this, but dump the fear. You have immense fear. Woman, you're beautiful, but you have immense fear. Please lose your fear. Actually, she was backtracking, and she says, well, what fear? I said, I can see it, and I can hear it in the voice, which is what I tend to do. I can pick up from your voice a lot of the things that go wrong with you, a lot of things that have gone wrong with you, a lot of things that you're not, that you're blocking in your personality. And when I showed her what she was doing, it released something, and a little tear came to her, and that was it. We were on a hiding to a great day, because she left the studio hugging me, and, you know, whereas I thought this was going to be a lost leader. This is the only one that I've ever had that was very confronting, but over the last 10 years of working with people. So I was quite delighted by that, thinking, yeah, I haven't had anybody yet who I haven't really managed to uncover their voice and show them a part of their real self they didn't think they had.
Well, that's brilliant. Now, it's a very interesting alias, Dr. Voice, and I was just wondering, how did you actually come about to be known as Dr. Voice? Like, when, how long ago was it?
Well, I think it was about 15 years ago, really.
Okay.
I was teaching people singing, and I found that what I was doing, when people go to singing teachers and they learn how to sing, a lot of them were coming to me, and their voices were being ruined. Because some of the singing teachers, I don't know what they were teaching, because there are a lot of singing teachers out there who don't know what they're doing, and I'm afraid do bring some problems to some clients and don't know they're doing that. And and there's been times when these people have been in front of me, I've heard them sing, and I can hear an impediment in the voice and a problem when they get to certain notes they can't reach in their singing. And I think, oh, my God, they're not doing something right here. They're doing something wrong. So I said, look, adjust your breathing, or just aim it this way in this particular technique, and they overcome the problem. And it was based on that I realized, hang on, wait a minute, I'm like giving prescriptions for people. It's like they're coming in, and I'm actually remedying a lot of the problems they've had with other singing teachers. And then I thought, God, I feel like a doctor sometimes, because I'm sitting there, no, take this 2 times a day, or do this exercise 3 times a day, and do that, and I promise you, after a period of time, this will do that. And it felt a bit like that. It felt like, oh, God, I'm just like a doctor here. And I think someone called me once. Someone said, you're like a doctor of the voice. You seem to know what to do. And I said, yeah, it's funny. So I coined the phrase then, and since then it's stuck, and it's become like a brand for me now.
Yeah.
You know, with my fastest singing program, and, you know, with immersion days and the various different clients that come to me.
Yeah, brilliant. And I was just wondering, Doc, like, you've also done a bit of performing in your time as well, and I was just wondering if you could share your most memorable experience as a performer.
Oh, yes. Well, I think the greatest thing for me was, because I could not sing a note, and please understand this, callers, because I could not sing a note, I was straining like Bob Dylan's grandmother. Honest, I was terrible. And because I couldn't do that, and people used to throw things at me and say, can you sing tenor? 10 or 12 miles away. You know, this is because when I was in Australia, it's when they used to say to me, you know, throw beer over me. Because I really wanted to sing so much. I don't know why. Normally people that want to sing have got great voices. But I just didn't care. I just really wanted to do it. I think it's because my brother, I thought I could be like him. But basically, in my attempts to learn to sing, I found I started to pitch better, get singing better. And then all of a sudden, I had an opportunity to meet the Bee Gees in Western Australia, who happened to do an album for my brother, and I come across Maurice Gibb, we become friends, and before I knew it, that he had a backing band in the Bee Gees, and he asked me, well, I want to do backing vocals, so I did some backing vocals with them and did a tour of Australia.
Wow.
Which was fantastic. Then I sang at the Albert Hall, Hollywood Bowl, Sydney Opera House, and found myself sitting there singing, especially at the Albert Hall. I remember distinctly I was doing one song on my own on the piano, and I lost the words. I couldn't remember the words. Oh my God, what's the words? And I was just about to, and the band very luckily went round and round in circles until I collected the words.
Yeah.
But as soon as you hear your voice going out to an auditorium, the words I have to say, and it went out, and you could hear your voice reaching out in the hall and the big echo. That's it. You're gone. You go into this amazing stillness, and what you've practiced, the work you've done, takes over. And what's distributed to the rest of the people is none of your business. The work you do, the effort you put in, is what you've done to launch it. But when you're standing there singing and it goes out to that audience, it's none of your business. You just watch it yourself as if you're one of the audience. And you are in awe of what's happening because you can't believe it's coming through you or out of your mouth. And I think that's one of the greatest joys of performing. And I think that's why Elton John, Billy Joel, anybody, any great performer, they can't stop doing concerts. They're not doing concerts to make money. They've got all the money in the world already. They just love getting out there. You go to a space where you are utilized by an immense power from within you, and you're watching people swoo on it and live with it with you. And if it's a song you've written that's personal to you, and you've got, like Lionel Richie said, the greatest experience he ever had was going to Japan, when he landed at Japan airport, and 10,000 Japanese girls were singing, "Hello, is it me you're looking for?" And he could not believe that these people were singing a song that he wrote in his room only a year before, you know, and
wow,
it was nothing to do with anyone else when he was writing it, and yet there's all these people singing it. What a lovely thing to happen. And unfortunately, I haven't had a song out there like that yet, but I have performed to big audiences, which is just as good, you know, it's very beautiful.
Yeah, well, that's amazing, Doc. Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, Doc, we've had people sign up from all over the world, and we've had some incredible questions that have come through, and I've picked out a few questions that I will run through with you now. There are really some amazing ones in there, and just see if you can just really help address people's core concerns with the voice. Now, I've got a question here from Fan in South Africa, and their question is, how can I bring more colour into my voice and presentation and avoid talking at one level nor sounding artificial when introducing more variation to my voice?
Right. Very simple. Come and see me. No, very simple. What you need to do, sweetheart, there is start to understand what is the basic thing in you as a person. What is going on in you when you're talking? Now, here's the thing. This is where what I do on my immersion day, where the magic comes out, and I will give a few secrets away here, no problem. One of the things that we do not understand about the voice and about the sound when we make it is that we think if we talk like that, it'll come out like that, that's it. We don't color it because we don't know how to color it. We don't know what to do with it. let me give you an example. I was in front of a Philharmonia orchestra doing some music at one time, and I had the opportunity of controlling this orchestra from a room. And as I was stopping the orchestra, every so often I kept saying, more dynamics, please. And then the orchestra stopped. Okay, the conductor continued to put the dynamics on. The rhythm isn't right. The pitch isn't right. And I'd be changing the instruments. By the end of that day, I had no idea what I was doing, and I had no idea how to control an orchestra. But everybody was coming out to me saying, whoa, that was brilliant. I thought I was some genius or something. No. All I was doing is what I'm going to share with you now, what you need to do with your voice. I was looking at the seven elements. I was looking at pitch, rhythm, dynamics, pause, silence, resonance, timing. These elements are on the board of every music room in the world, in every school and college you can find. And all I was doing is I referred to that when I saw this orchestra, and it enabled me to control the whole thing. Then, of course, I realized that this is what I'm using with voice. Let me give you an example. If I said to a little girl, I said this on Radio 5 Live. This is going to help you. I'm sorry, what was the lady's name?
Fan.
Who?
Fan.
Fan. This is what happened when I was on radio once. They phoned me up and they said, look, can you help the girl in Girls Aloud? Because she's gone to court and the judge has thrown her out because they couldn't understand a word she was saying because she wasn't clear. They said it's the Irish accent. The whole of Ireland were up in arms. They were so upset. They went across the whole of BBC Ireland, across England, just complaining about the fact that the Irish accent is bad. So they asked me, they phoned me up, and Dr. Voice, could we have your opinion? I said, there's nothing wrong with the Irish accent. It's beautiful. It's a musical accent. It's not the accent, it's the voice energy. And you have to build voice energy. And what was voice energy? You see, this is what you would do. I said to them, if you say to a child, blah, 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 and they said to me on the radio, on the telephone, when they phoned me on the radio, just like a conference call like this, they said, sorry, I didn't hear you. I said, exactly. Listen again. I'll say to the little girl, blah, blah, blah. Now, what I'm saying to the little girl, I'm going to now say with the elements. I'm going to now say with pitch, with rhythm, with color. This is the color we're looking for, Fan. Don't get near the fire. And that's what I'm saying to that little girl. And do you know what? That little girl will feel what you said and will not get near the fire. It's called voice energy. We don't make each word clear. Every word we speak is monumental, and yet we waffle on. Oh, and we just waffle on. And to prove it, here's another story. I went into a car park, and I said to a friend of mine, "Watch this." And I went up to the car park to get a ticket, and a man came over to me who was going to get a ticket as well. And I pulled the ticket out, and I looked at him. I went, "Excuse me, mate, beep beep beep." I didn't say anything to him. I just went beep beep beep. That's what I said to him. I purposely said garbled something. And he said, "I don't know, mate. I might do, but I've parked my car over there. I might do in a minute." He thought he knew what I was saying. I didn't know what I was saying. You know, it was like, this is what we do in communication. We just glibly mumble to people and expect everyone to understand or to stand under what we're trying to say. And it's not about that. It's about using the vowels. Fan, use your vowels, your articulation. Use the color. Use the quietness and then the loudness. This is very powerful. Use the elements. The elements of speech, the elements that are in music are the same elements you use in speech and are the same elements that sit you down and make you watch a movie with your mouth open and thinking it's a great film, because those elements have actually taken you on an experience. And that's what I mean by color. Another example, Fan, for that to help you, and then we'll move on, was I had a group of people down in Dickens World in Chatham, and I had to speak to a load of actors, about 80 actors in a room. And as I spoke to these actors, I just went on, and I didn't say anything to them for 8 minutes. I didn't say anything. This is what I said. I'll give you the first 30 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, you've all come here today, and I know some of you have come to hear something remarkable. Some of you may be sitting here. Now, at this point, I don't know what I'm going to say. Next 30 seconds, I continued. I still didn't know what I was saying. And I went over 8 minutes. Now, trust me, 8 minutes is a long time. And then I finished talking, and they clapped me. And I said, right, can anybody tell me, was that interesting? Yes. Can anybody tell me, were they taken in by the stories? Yes. Was it humorous? Yes. Did they enjoy it? Yes. Does anybody know what I was saying? And they all said, no. And the reason why is because I didn't say anything. And I said, dead correct, I didn't say anything. But what I'd done, I mesmerized you or put you in a state where you felt good inside you because you were listening to the elements of speech and you felt what was being said rather than taking a load of information with a pen. And this is where we're losing it. We don't really communicate with each other. We're just out information giving and information picking up. It's more about feeling communication. And that's quite true, Fan. That's why you need to wake up those elements and those colors to make your speech very, very powerful.
Fantastic response there, Doc. Particularly enjoyed the comment that each word we speak is monumental. Very powerful stuff. Now, I've got a question here from Ghoul, and Ghoul is in the United Kingdom. And Ghoul asks, how can I truly appear convincing when I have hidden fears in my voice?
How can I truly appear convincing when I have hidden fears in your voice?
Yeah.
If you've hidden fears in your voice, how can I be convincing? Well, the thing is, that's where you have a block. What you've done there, Ghoul, you've developed a block in your personality. And when you're communicating, again, when you start using the vowels, the shapes and the elements, you will sound convincing. Trust me. You will sound convincing. Here's another example. One girl in that actor's course, which would apply to this, she was sitting down, and I said, and as I was talking, I said, oh, let me go over them. I'm going to give you £1,000 in a minute. Anyway, the point is, I am now going to give you £20. And she jumped up. She said, oh, yes, please. And she was so overthrilled, I was going to give her this £20. And I asked someone there, did anybody see why she jumped up when I said £20? Everybody said, yeah, because you said it with clarity, you said it with timing, you used the elements. And I was inside the vowels and the elements. And she really got that I was going to give her £20, so she jumped up. But she didn't hear it when I said, I'm going to give you £1,000 in a minute. She didn't hear that. She heard it, but she didn't register it because there was no elements on it. I'm going to give you £1,000 in a minute. And this is what we do. We talk to each other like this most of the day. And we're just waffling on. And we wonder why things aren't being truly communicated. It's like I said before, I had two guys outside my room one day talking to each other, and this was the conversation. Later. I mean, I don't know what they were saying. I was like on another planet. There was no real connection. And this is what we've done. We've lost the art of making ourselves clear, coherent, and fun. There's a lot of fun in being expressive.
Yeah. Brilliant. Now, this is another question on expression, and it sort of ties in with the inherited voice that we touched on a little bit earlier on in the call. And it comes from Eileen in the United Kingdom. And Eileen asks, how do I break the inherited blocks of lack of expression in my voice?
Well, this is the process I deal with, you see. This is what I'm seeing when people come to me. I mean, I had a client in recently who was a great speaker on stage, had the most amazing presence, did phenomenal work on stage, and really touched his audience and everything. It was quite amazing. And when he come to me, it wasn't until he had an immersion day when we saw these blocks inside himself towards himself. He can help other people, but he wasn't helping himself. Similar again to the answer to the other question, you know, it's like when you truly feel who you are when you speak, when you really feel yourself when you talk, there isn't a soul on earth that will get in the way of it. And you will feel you are clear and very expressive, but you have to unite yourself with that part in you. Which is what I do. I think that's the magic of what I do. I get people to unite to who they really are inside themselves, to their inner consciousness, to that thing that was sitting behind those eyes when you were born. Wah! That power, that life force within you, when you speak. So when you do speak, it is monumental. It is conscious. It is passionate. It is like, oh, you know, let's partake in this conversation. It's like aliveness. And so therefore, any blocks does not stand a chance. It doesn't. The blocks just go because you're becoming coherent with who you really are in the moment. And therefore, what you say becomes very monumental. What you say becomes very sincere. I said this on radio again. Look, when you speak, if what you say is not real, it's not uplifting, it's not kind, if it's not educational, if it's not humorous, then shut the hell up. Because it's going to have some negative something somewhere. Oh, see my gas bill? Oh, it's terrible. What about this? What about, you know, like the negative influences of speech that we have upon each other, it keeps us all in a very low vibrational quality in our life. That is when we're not being conscious of what we say. And that's when we're not living our life consciously. And my question to every one of you callers here is, do you want to live your life consciously or unconsciously? Because that is the question. And that's what this whole thing's about. What the work that I do is attaching you to the consciousness in the sounds you make. And let it be said here that the sounds you make were actually the first thing that happened when you took a breath. It was the sound you made. So that sound and that breath are married. They are so together, it's not funny. But do you know what? Most people are not with their breath or their sound when they speak. They're with their mind thinking the next question. They're with their mind thinking, oh, what am I going to do? They're with their mind being self-conscious. They're with their mind being negative. They're with their mind wondering what's going to happen. They're with their mind, you know, jumping about all over the place, not feeling good, being still enough to express the very moment they're in, what they want to say. And that's what I do in the Immersion Lab. We connect people to that. That's why it's very profound.
Mm. Brilliant. Now, Doctor, the first time we actually met was at one of your workshops, and I was sitting there in a room. It was packed full of people hanging on your every single word, and literally for the 2 hours that the workshop ran for, you held that audience thoroughly captivated. We were literally sitting on the edge of our seats just waiting for that next pearl of wisdom that you were going to share with us. And that's that energy and that, I guess, that vibration of your public speaking sort of ties into this next question from Ashraf, who is in South Africa. And Ashraf wants to know, how do you communicate confidently with a big group of strangers?
Right. Here's the first thing. Ashraf, stop making yourself feel you're a stranger. And that's why you have difficulty communicating with those people who you think are strangers. No one is a stranger. Everyone, every one of you on this telephone call right now listening to my words, I will say this to you. I don't know you from Adam, and nor do you know me, but I do know this. You love me, and I love you, because we're human beings. The word human comes from the word love-like. We are love-like beings. I'll tell you again, one thing that happened to me when I was in Australia. I was jumping up and down in the water one day, and I saw all these big guys, all like Damien Sen standing there with tattoos, jumping around in their Aussie accent, saying, hey, get out, mate, you know. And these guys weren't as kind and as lovely as Damien Sen. They were just jumping around, you know. Hey, get out, mate. And they actually ignored you, because I was a pure white pommy bastard, excuse the expression. And I was standing there as the poor white pommy man, and they were looking at me, and I thought, God, they're not friendly, these Aussies, are they? What a race of people. And I started to think all sorts of things. And then one thought came to me while I was there, and that was, yet, if a shark was to come and rip my legs off right now, every one of those guys who I thought were meat axes because of their muscles and everything, every one of them will be in to try and save me. Why? Because they love me. They would try to save me. Now, when you're in front, Ashraf, of that audience, you are going to communicate confidently to that group because you know them all. They're all your friends. They're not strangers. They are beings of love who are just at the mercy of the next moment as you are. And they are wondering what you're going to say, and they don't know what you're going to say. And so if you say it wrong, they don't know it's wrong. If you say the wrong thing out of place, they don't know that, because all they know is they're waiting to receive something from you because you're in that position to give something. Now, here's the flash. They are your friends. So before you go out on audience, here's your tip. You make friends inside your mind with everyone in that room, and you say to yourself, inside yourself, which is what I do, I say, these people love me, and I love every one of them in that room. And I hope what I say will help uplift, change, inspire, or do something for someone in that room. If I hit one person tonight in that room, and I've made a change to that person to the positive, so that they can live their life a bit freer because of the words I've spoken, God, that's an achievement. The rest can tell me I'm an idiot. I don't care. And that's how you've got to feel. You've got to stand there, throw caution to the wind. It's a brave thing to do. It's not easy to get up and public speak or talk to any group. But when you do it, and you know that they're your friends, and you are their friend, and just feel that, even if there's people in the audience you don't like, you know, it's quite extraordinary how life, or God, if you, whatever you want to call it, generator, operator, destroyer, the amazing spirit in you, Jesus, Buddha, I don't care what you call it, but that feeling of presence, of warmth and upliftment will come and save your ass. It does every time.
Brilliant. That's some tremendous advice, not just for speaking and getting up in front of people, but for anyone who's out there sharing their gifts with the world. That's
absolutely
really, really sound advice. Great. Now, this is another one, again, with performing or speaking to audiences, and it comes from Deborah in the United States. And Deborah wanted to know, how does one grab the crowd's attention within the first few sentences of taking the stage?
Well, there's many tricks for that. There's many tricks. I think the first thing to grab anybody's attention is stillness. It's very powerful. Just stillness and pause and a smile. If you just stand there and smile with stillness, people will start to settle down and think, oh, what's she going to say? What's going to happen? You know, and all of a sudden, the grappling will stop, and they'll all simmer down and be quiet. It's just because they taught to do that at school when the headmaster stands up, isn't it? We've all been taught that. You stand in school and you're standing there, and all of a sudden the master's up there, and someone's going to share something, and you all of a sudden you say, I'm talking. Oh, yeah, be quiet, be quiet. And everybody gets quiet, and then all of a sudden you've got their attention. So pause, as a part of the element, again, is very powerful, stillness. Now, to grab their attention with the first few sentences could be, what a joy to be here today. And I tell you why it's a joy. Because I'm feeling good. And, you know, and words that really ignite a passion, words that actually are quite rare these days, actually stop audiences these days. Words like passionate, joy. You know, because joy seems to be something someone else has. It doesn't seem to be something that I could possibly have. Oh, that belongs to Mrs. So-and-so up the road, joy. Or it's a woman's name. you know, because we don't have it in our life. But, you know, when you start bringing words out that have power and meaning, these words, choose them carefully in your opening. I mean, one opening I do, which, and I did this to all the bankers in the city, and it was quite powerful. Here's, this is a showstopper. I don't mind, you can use it. You've got carte blanche, any of you the speakers out there. And I stood there, quiet, smiled at them, all of them. This is the top bankers in the city. And I said, you're all liars. Every one of you are a liar. Then I went dead quiet. And at that point, they're just looking at me. And no one knows what to say. They're all frozen. And of course, you know, because you've said that, it's like, what's he accusing us of already? Because, you see, and I'd say, hands up who has never been, never lied. And no one dare put their hand up because they've all lied. And then one person may put their hand up and say, you're a liar, madam. And she puts it down every time. Every time. And I said, you see, and here's the punchline, because you can only be honest when you are honest. You don't own honesty. Honesty is something you practice in the moment. You can only be sincere when you are sincere. You don't own sincerity. These are human virtues that we have to practice every moment. It's a bit like the sea that comes in over the rock. As soon as it goes out again, the rock is dry as a dog's bone. And the same with the human virtues. You can only be kind when you are kind. You don't own these things, but you can practice them. And the more you practice them, the more human you become, the more conscious you live, and the more happier you are, because you start to feel really grateful for the fact you're alive.
Powerful, powerful stuff. Okay, Doc, I've got a question here from Noel in the United Kingdom, and this is a question just with regard to true, authentic self-expression. And Noel asks, how does a person know or recognize what their true vocal essence is? If you are allowed to use only one technique to access a person's true expression, what would it be?
Right. Well, there's two questions there. One is, how does a person know or recognize what their true vocal essence is? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, here it is. Through practice. Seriously. It's through practice. You get to know who you are through practice. I just gave the answer, really, in the human virtues. When you practice honesty, you become honest. And then you see honesty and you go, oh, that feels good to be honest. That's integrity. It feels good, you know. So how does a person know, recognize their true vocal essence? It actually comes out of you as you're practicing. And you feel its presence. You actually feel it. And where you feel it is from the breath, because your voice cannot make sound without breath. The voice comes up, hits the vocal cords, these two little membranes vibrate. They actually don't make sound. The vocal cords themselves don't make sound. What makes sound is the hundredth puff of air. There's little puffs of air coming from those vibrations of the membrane of the vocal cords, and they hit areas of your body where you aim it. And that's what singing does. As you hear people aim their head, you heard me sing earlier. Whoa! Up there, I'm aiming to my head. Or, I'm aiming it to my chest. You see, you aim the voice to particular areas, which is what makes you put your personality. So through practice, you open these areas up more. You start to get this amazing textures and colors in your own sound, which you find is your own vocal essence, riding on the surfboard in every word that you speak. And it comes through practice. Now, if you were allowed to use only one technique, you say, is that right? On a person, what was it? On a what?
One technique to access a person's true expression.
Right. What would that be, that technique? Well, you see, I would say nothing happens without breath. So first, I would say be with the breath as you use, now listen to me do this now, you will hear me do this, as I use the vowels in speech and consonants. How clear is that? You see, using the vowels, will help you move the pitch around, will help you use the dynamics, some louds and then some softs. You know, some loud and some softs, you see. This is all the elements at play. And the vowels, I would say, being conscious of a vowel when you speak, you cannot be anywhere but in the moment. You can't. When you're conscious of the vowel as it enters your mouth, the vowel, let's say the word however, okay, here we go. However is ow, right? That's the vowel, ow. Right? However, now I've just made however, I've given that a life by being in the vowel as I spoke it and thought about the vowel as I spoke it. Guess where I am? I'm in the moment. You can't be anywhere else. And then when you speak, you start to feel you're very connected to who you really are inside. It takes practice, and it takes work, and it takes know-how, but it comes.
Fantastic. Now, Doc, we're coming up to the end of our call. And
already?
I know that it's flown by. And I know that there are people on this call who will have really resonated with the messages that you've shared today and the wisdom that you've shared today. And I was just wondering, for people who have really connected with you at a deep level, how, if they wanted to actually continue their journey with you as a vocal coach, like you mentioned that you have the fastest singing program, and you also mentioned your immersion days, and I was just wondering if you could give people a little bit more information about how they can participate in those two programs.
Yeah, I mean, well, the thing is this: if you're sincere about really wanting to connect with the essence of your being in your speech, then an immersion day is probably one of the most powerful things that I think you could, or most profound experiences you may come into. I actually don't know anyone else on the planet that's doing what I do at the moment. I haven't discovered them yet. There might be someone somewhere. But all I do, I get people coming from America, all over the world come to see me, who now, you know, as my name gets around, because, I mean, I had a guy phone me the other day, excuse me, Mr. Wade, I won't say the company, but he's the head of a massive corporate company we all go to, and he, a shop we go to, and he said, could I have an immersion day, please? I said, yeah, sure. Do you know what an immersion day is? He says, no, but I want one. I said, well, hang on, how do you hear about it? My friend had one, and I saw what it did for him, so I want one of those. And he didn't even know what it was, you know. And, of course, when he came, he had the shock of his life, because he never dreamt he would be going as deep and as insightfully into himself as he did. On the immersion day, we take you into a type of meditation and a focus inside yourself via your breath, and we'll connect you to a feeling in you which enables you to attach it to your sound when you speak. And you end up with a proper recording, I'm in a BBC-type recording studio in West London, Shepherd's Bush, and we use the recording facilities here to our advantage to record every minute of the day and to record you as you progress throughout the day. At the end of the day, you go with a CD with you speaking on it, with your new found voice, and you can't believe it's you. And you take it away and hear it being repeated over a period of time at home, and it starts to instruct you more and make you more conscious and aware of the elements, of yourself, of your breathing, which are the two first things that actually happened to you when you were born. And it connects you to who you are rather than your intellect. And then I'll give you an example of that. Again, I had an inquiry from one of the top MPs who's just about to become the Prime Minister here. And when he heard that I teach people to speak from the heart, he cancelled the actual meeting. So, because some people don't want to come from their heart when they speak, and yet to come to become very sincere as you speak. So that's what happens in the immersion day. It just wakes you up. It's a very profound waking up. The fastest singing program is learning how to sing. You can learn how to sing in one song. I've written a song specifically to help people abide by the acoustic laws of their singing. So when they've learned that song off, they can sing anything. And inside that song, you will awaken all the elements, all the areas of your voice in order for you to sing, and it will help you when you speak as well. So they're combined. But if you really want the big one, it's the Immersion Day. But the song is good, and I do single sessions as well.
Brilliant. And I can certainly wholeheartedly endorse the Immersion Day. I've had one myself 3 or 4 years ago, and like I've had the privilege of doing a great variety of different personal development workshops and exercises, and met some incredible teachers in my time, but the Immersion Day was certainly one of the most powerful things that I've personally done, and it comes with my highest endorsement for anyone thinking about doing it. And also, like if you do refer to the Dr. Voice website, there is a full range of testimonials of people who've been through that experience and literally
No, not at the moment.
Okay.
What I do say to people, if you want some testimonials, please email me and I'll send them to you. And they're quite a read. So please do, if you want any testimonials on Immersion Days, just email me and I send them straight to you, because I'm on my website being rebuilt at the moment and I haven't put the new ones on.
Okay. And say if people were to email you, Doc, what's the best email address to get you on?
Well, they can get me on Dr. Voice, very simple, Dr. Voice, that's Dr. Voice, at drvoice.tv. So it's Dr. Voice at drvoice.tv.
Brilliant. And if your website, even though it is being built,
Go on the website. You can go on it now. It's just the testimonials are not added. And will be next week. It's www.drvoice.tv.
Brilliant. Excellent. Thanks very much for that, Doc. Now, literally, we are almost at the hour, and I just wanted to take this opportunity, Doc, to give you a very big thank you for sharing and distilling 30 years of wisdom into an hour-long call. Like, I've really blown away with how much information you've just shared in a short hour. And certainly I've been taking notes personally myself, and have no doubt that this call will certainly help me on my continued journey of self-expression. And I just wanted to take this opportunity just to acknowledge you for sharing your time and your wisdom and experience so freely this evening.
May I also take this time, Damien, to acknowledge and thank you, and I'm sure every one of the callers here would be heartily in agreement with me, of this fantastic idea you've got of phoning up and bringing different people to the table to bring a consciousness to this planet. You're quite something else, and I want you to be acknowledged too on this call. Thank you, Damien, very much for the opportunity.
Cool. Thanks, Doc. Now, I was just wondering, Doc, if...
And thank all the people. You're listening.
Yes.
God bless you all. I don't know your faces, but you're lovely. Thank you so much for listening. Whoever you are beautiful souls. That's what we are. We're all beings in a body, vibrating at a frequency, being happy. And that's fantastic. Thank you for being with us.
Yes, and I definitely endorse that as well. And we had people just signing up from all over the world. And it's just beautiful to have a forum where we can actually come together rather than live in a world of separation. And I think it's one of the real benefits of technology today, that we can actually reach out and make friends with our friends wherever they are in the world.
Fantastic.
And Doc, in closing, I was just wondering if you had one last piece of advice that you'd like to share with the callers this evening.
Search. If you're not searching, if you're feeling good, that's the word. I think that's the word. Before you do anything, please feel good. That's the key. Don't put anything first. Put you first. Look at the zero. If you look at a zero, one person came up and they said to me, oh, zero, what do you think of yoga? I said, zero means nothing. It's zero. They said, what? They walked off in disgust. And they didn't hear the rest of what I had to say, because after zero comes one. Now, 0-1 is not a high value, but if you put one first, if you put you first, then the zero comes after, then the yoga, then all the things you do, then the seminars, then the hard work, then all the other stuff. That comes after, then it turns into 10, 100, 1,000, and a million. Please put you first. You are the most important thing you have on earth. If you put you, your breath, who you are first, then you can start feeling good most of the time. I do believe that's a fact in life. And if we are able to do that, this planet would be the most amazing place.
Thank you very much, Doc. Always a pleasure to chat and walk away from our conversations feeling totally uplifted. So thanks once again, Doc.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody on the call. Again, like the questions that came through were really phenomenal and very thoughtful, and I'm glad that everyone's participating as much as they possibly can in these calls. They're just a real privilege for me to share with people, and I wholeheartedly acknowledge every single person who's a part of this process, because I think it's magical.
And may I leave it open to anyone that wishes to email me with questions, please do. I will answer them, and I will help you to the best of my ability on the email. Not a problem. Please do.
Excellent. Thanks, Doc. And thank you, everyone. This call will be made available for free on the People You Should Meet website. So just check back there. It won't actually be up there tomorrow, but it will be there in a couple of days' time. So if you would like to listen to this call again, or if you felt moved, most certainly share this wisdom with your friends and family and the people close to you. Thanks once again, and we look forward to having you on People You Should Meet call very soon. Thanks, Doc.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Good night.